Who strapped that banana to the wall? It's Coffee House right here on 4Culture Radio. I'm the artist Dean. And that, as you know, is Anne Marie.
Hi.
Hi. Could you?
It's a great visual.
Could you untape that banana? We got to eat it.
Oh, what was it? $120,000 banana.
$120,000 banana. This just happened. This like news broke. We're all over it. And so is Twitter. It was in Florida, a banana installation, an art installation. It was a banana duct tape to the wall. And it sold for $120,000. And then some asshole or performance artist, either one, untaped it and ate it in front of everyone. And no one knows what to do.
But I mean, how would, like, someone bought that piece. How yes. do you bring it home?
The more I read it, the more I had less sympathy for the artist, because at first, this morning I was in a cranky mood, so I wanted to punch the guy in the face for eating the banana. Initially,
bastard.
Yeah. Even if it was just a duct tape banana. But then I learned that the banana is replaced every night, so it doesn't rot. Right. So people...
I didn't...
You didn't get that far.
No, I was too like, okay, sorry. Oh,
well, I kept going and going because I'm like, well, because that was my question was, well, had it rotted? Is it already rotting? Is it never going to be, you know, what was the point of the installation? But apparently they replace the duct taped banana when as needed or nightly. So people were taking the banana off the wall anyway. So it wasn't a special banana. It's just a banana.
This is all stupid.
And this is art. And I this sells for $120,000, but nobody's buying my shit.
But we're getting mad about it, which is what art, it's making us react, which is what art is supposed to do.
That's right.
And so that's, maybe,
that's
you know.
All those people would say, you know? Well, it made you think about it, didn't it? Then it is art.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. Fucking... It's so, a banana. And the tape banana. Job is very clean.
It is.
I mean, no at least, wrinkles.
At least there's that. At least there's that. Because is this? Because he was allegedly a performance artist, and he was performing. But you know, is that art using art, and that's okay? Does one cancel out the other? Do I, as an artist, not appreciate
know.
That he defaced my banana art?
That's a thesis. This is like that Banksy... Yeah. Painting that just kind of shredded itself.
Yeah. Yeah.
After it was bid on. Same idea.
It's a banana. I mean, what did you expect? It was a banana.
It's so stupid. But hey!
See, if I created like a banana installation, like more than a duct taped banana, like it was banana art. And someone ate that, I feel like I would be okay with that. Because that's like, okay, now we're getting somewhere. But maybe it's like poor art representing poor art, because somebody just taped a banana to the wall and somebody else just untaped a banana from the wall and ate it. Neither of those things have weight with me. But that's just me. And art
no,
is
I'm,
art.
No, I'm with you.
And art is important.
It's important. Yeah, all those things. Yes, all of those things. I'm underlining them. Yes, yes, yes. But I don't know.
So in memory of the banana here at the coffee house this morning, December 8th, 2019, we've taped one to the wall. Just, you know.
I should add bananas respect. To my shopping list.
Absolutely.
See, that's what we're going to do right now. Bananas.
Bananas. If this did anything, at least it helped add some things to the shopping list worldwide. Banana.
And duct tape. We might need duct tape as well.
Honey, could you run down?
And of course this happened in Florida.
Of course. Bananas.
What is it about Florida?
There is something about Florida. could be our next book. There is something about Florida.
Florida man, dot, dot, dot. He ate a banana.
Oh, my God. But how are you?
I'm okay. I am surviving the plague. I'm on the last stage of whatever the hell this is.
Last legs.
And I'm here with you.
Of the infectious zombie plague. I'm glad you're here.
I mean, like, what the hell was that?
And it came quick, over. And then it left.
It came quick. Oh, it left quick.
That's good. Why did it leave? It really left.
I started Christmas shopping.
That's right. It's the Christmas
show. Which is
basically
only, you know, two things. I got a lot to do, and I'm not doing any of it. And how are you?
I'm okay. I haven't started Christmas shopping yet. I only have one thing, and I put it off. And I shouldn't.
That's
have.
What happened.
Yeah, I shouldn't have because I was in the store just last week and I saw something and I thought maybe, maybe not.
Oh, now it's going to be gone.
And now I'm thinking maybe, and it'll be gone. Yeah, most likely. But that's what happens. But we're not in the Christmas spirit for gifts. We're in the Christmas spirit for coffee and decorations.
I like a good gift once in a while, but I do buy those myself. Like if I want something, I just get it for myself. Like, hey, yeah, Merry Christmas! Yeah. But decorations same. And happiness and joy.
Same here. I'm
maybe a good friggin' give me a good cookie.
Those Christmas cookies, yes.
That's not OD'd with, like, you know, shitty frosting.
No. An appropriate cookie.
Like, I got to find a really good happy cookie that just makes my day.
Do you like them
soft?
None of
that Pillsbury you slice those things.
No. Do you like your cookies soft or crunchy?
I need the ultimate, like, you know, coffee cookie. So it's, I guess a good crunch like would be crispy, a beautiful thing.
Crispy cookies, crispy, yes. Mm-hmm. Don't let them burn, though. Don't ever let them burn.
I always burn the bottom of my freaking cookie. I'm a disaster.
They
only got to cook for like 11 or 12 minutes, and it just doesn't work out for me.
I've not made a cookie in 1,000 years, so I'm good. I'll just eat everybody else's cookies. That's what I want.
There's nothing wrong with
that. That's what I want for Christmas.
Just find a good one you like.
I want everybody else's cookies for Christmas.
We actually make a really good fruitcake in my family. Like, it's filled with booze and moist happiness.
Booze cakes are the best.
So, you know, people like they hear fruitcake and they're like, oh, it's great. No, it's good. Good stuff.
I've always been a fan of the fruitcake.
I got to send you one of ours.
You absolutely have to send me a booze cake.
It's going to cost me $200 in shipping because it's so damn heavy.
It is flammable.
Yeah. Time for you to fly back out east and get your damn cake because it's going to be cheaper.
Cake. Yeah, I was looking at the panettones this week. You got to get yourself a panettone.
Yes. Those get handed back and forth without even being open.
That's right. Those are the bricks of happiness. $17.99. Shove the panettone up your ass.
Every friggin' year, my husband goes to the bakery and the guy makes him a deal. I'll give you 4 for $15 or something, and we end up with so much. But the guy just wants him out of here.
And then you gift it around and you see it again next year. Same panettone coming right back at you. Well, and while this is our Christmas special, we're not sure what's so special about it because every day is Christmas at the coffee house. But we do. We've got an update, though, from last week with the buttholes that are being sunned. And apparently Josh Brolin has burnt his butthole whilst sunning. Josh Brolin had posted on Instagram this past weekend that he tried the newest wellness trend, the one that we reported on last week, and he burnt his butthole. My, you know, to quote, my pucker hole is crazy burned. I was going to spend the day shopping with my family. Instead, I'm icing and using aloe and burn creams.
Yeah, that's it.
That's pretty severe.
Yeah. I mean, how long was he practicing this thing? That's bad.
That is bad. We just want to let you know, Gary, that that had happened.
Would it be appropriate to call him an asshole? I mean, really?
Yes, it would.
That sucks. But we knew that would happen. We knew this was a possibility. Here it is. He should have known.
He should have listened to our show.
Everybody should listen. We are full of wisdom.
Full of wisdom, and we're full of Spotify.
Yeah, we kind of are.
And to kick that off, the other topic that we've been nudged to talk about is the decade thing. Have you seen our favorite listener, our listener of the month?
Yes, I saw.
About the decade thing? He's really, really upset about that.
I think he's right.
He is right. And I did some research. So our listener had tweeted that the decade actually does not end in 2020. Technically, scientifically, it ends in 2021, because the decade is the 21, or the, you know, that one number up to the 10th number is the decade. And I did look it up, and it is correct. That is the calendar correct
way. So what the hell is everybody doing? I hate everybody.
As do I. And I looked it up, and I don't have the article, but it was horrifying enough for me to remember it. That they interviewed, it was a Washington Post article, and they interviewed scientists who were like, yes, that is technically correct. But then they interviewed, you know, other important people, quote. And
I'm course, important. Nobody asked me.
Nobody asked us. No. And those people said, well, that might be true, but that's just silly. And no one's going to believe that. So we just have to go along with 2020 being the end.
We're just going with the flow.
Yeah, we go with the
flow.
See,
you can't always do that, man. It doesn't work out.
He said it's not socially or culturally correct. So that makes it right. No. I disagree. I disagree. So,
you know, if for the next year, we got to sit and listen to everyone's crap.
Yeah. Because really, I mean, and if there's some kind of magical astronomical thing going on that you're expecting, you know, 2020 to start anew, then maybe you're not new until 21, which is going to have people really down for the 2020s. They're going to think it started badly when it didn't start at all.
See? Mm-hmm. See?
See?
The artist D knows things.
Apparently this started... this also happened in the millennium with the 99 to 2000 thing, where people were arguing not only about, you know, when the new millennium starts, but when the decade starts and all that. And they were having the same argument then. So we have this argument every 10 years.
And we don't learn. We just keep doing the same crap.
Just keep doing it. So in case you want to know, people, and in case you want to go against the cultural grain... And or hold 2 years worth of decade new parties, which would be fun. Now you know.
Ugh. The world disappoints me.
That's why that article was absolutely horrifying. That article just embodied everything I'm talking about all the time. It's like, well, this is the scientific, correct truth. But, you know, in this society... We don't do
it. It doesn't matter. We need something to talk about now. Exactly. Come on.
And that's what they were quoted with saying. Well, by 2021, we'll be tired of it by then. We're not going to do it again.
Idiots.
Like the population should just be, yes, this is the scientific truth. This is how it is. We are waiting until 2021 to have our decade begin. Period.
All it takes is a celebrity to just make that statement in an Instagram story and we'll be set. That might have to be you, D.
I can give it a shot.
You could be the change.
I can be the change the world needs for their new decade.
It starts with a lone voice.
Started with one. I mean, Gary is trying. I see him at every turn.
He's got to keep fighting.
He is a true fighter for that change.
You know,
sure.
Let's create the hashtag on Twitter. And every tweet we do, even if it's like, I have coffee, it has to have that hashtag. Yeah, so we could just kind of create a wave.
Hashtag not the end of a decade.
Not the end of the decade. The decade's next year. You know, yeah, so something. Yes. I don't know.
Well, exactly what I told him before was that that's it just feels better. We're all so excited to get rid of the teens. I just want to get out of the teens. And back into the O's. Yeah. Or the NTs.
The 20s.
The NTs, yes.
NTs.
I'm excited. I'm very excited. I've been very tired of writing one whatever. I don't like it. I never liked it.
I never really thought about it.
I feel like
I've
been...
What does that say about me? I don't know.
I might say you haven't had a bad decade.
I don't know. It's just like, whatever. My son graduates in 2020. So that just sounds cool. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Well, you're the class of 2020. And that's
graduates,
all we can say.
He graduates what?
Elementary.
Oh, okay.
You know. he moves on up, but we treat it like a graduation.
We forget that elementary school has graduations these days.
You know, it's technically, everything. Well, you know, you can graduate any goddamn thing. So
that means he'll graduate high school in 20.
Don't make me do math. I know it's only 4 years, but Jesus.
Was it 4 years?
2024, okay. Yeah.
That was
God willing. Yeah.
Yes. If he behaves himself, he'll be the class of 2024. How about that? Never thought
that's
that
pretty
would,
exciting.
Never thought that would happen.
Shit.
Did you ever think, like back in the day before 2000, did you think that we'd be seeing 2020?
No, he didn't think it was too abstract.
Was it like the teens? You just didn't even think about it. It was just
when he, I'm pretty oblivious to every goddamn thing. When he was in pre-kindergarten, they gave him a big shirt that was like, you know, adult size. It was a big dress, and it said "Class of 2024" on it. For like this whole like, you know, college is my future.
That's...
And like we looked at this, and it was far away. Like 2024. What the fuck?
That's friggin' optimistic.
And it's happening.
It is.
It's here.
It's here. It's here. That's the only thing I have a memory of is like when you're just a little kid, you'd like do the math and you're like, how old, what year will it be when I'm 50?
Am I going to be alive?
And you're like,
is the world going to be here?
Exactly. Because then you figure it's like 2030 or 2040 or something. And you're like, well, that's not going to happen. The world's surely going to blow up before that.
Well, what did Nostradamus say? So you know, we're on track with everything he's saying. We're screwed.
We'll have to. We'll write down Nostradamus for the New Year's special.
That will be the new. Yeah, we're all gonna die. I don't know if I want to even know. Jeez.
He was such a vague motherfucker.
But you know, but you could just kind of like twist the words any way you want and be like, we're screwed. We're gonna die. That's it.
That's right. Well, we've been. How many shows have we been through where it was the end of the world already?
Every day.
The Mayans said so. Every day we say so. Every decade, every millennium, every century. But yet.
Oh, maybe this is it. Here.
It could be it. It'll be the one that surprises us. We're going to be we're going to be lulled into a sense of security and just sameness. It'll be 2030 or 2040. And we'll just be like, yeah, it's just it. Things happen. And then suddenly, poof. Done.
Well, I hope it happens when we're all asleep and we have no idea.
Oh, no, I want to see it.
You want to see everything?
I want to see everything.
I don't want to see melting flesh and things. I got no time for that. I want to just go to bed.
No,
my God.
No. Oh, wow. You see, that just says something about our internal poetry. I want to be sitting. I want to be
this show suddenly got deep. Oh, my God.
Internal poetry. That's our... It's one of our hashtags.
I want to see it. I want to see it. Okay, that's great.
I want to be on the cliff, the mountain, wherever, the whatever, and I want to see it. The rolling flames of lava and horror. I want to hear the screams as it comes envelop me.
Wow, hey, Dee, look at my festering wound. Yes, yes, I want to see it. I want to see it. That's you.
Send me pictures.
Great.
Immediately, yes. Absolutely.
You'll be the only one loading up your images to Instagram.
Absolutely. That is the saddest thing ever, is that's what's going to happen. Is like, there will be someone posting an end of days image.
That would be me. Hashtag, if I have to be awake for it.
Hashtag doomsday, and you're like, wait, this was not the best post I've ever done. Because we've all just melted.
Or maybe you'll be that one great post about the event, like that one girl in the green boots for the, you know, the Alien Fest thing.
Yes.
She was the one really great post. And, you know, now it could be your turn.
Never hesitate to post to Instagram. You never know. You're going to be that one. Because one day, everybody else isn't going to do it. And you're going to do it. Do it.
You're going to do it. You do that too well. It's great.
It's one of my favorites.
Oh, God.
Christmas approaches. We have given everyone, we asked very nicely this last week for people to participate. And of course, you know, very few people participate because that's not what people do.
Well, no, we got a lot of participants, but they were either raunchy, you know.
We should say, yes. Yeah.
Want me to like their page for the answer.
Yes.
Come on.
They wanted likes, they wanted licks, they wanted something, but they wouldn't tell us what was in their Christmas stocking.
Bastards.
And we asked numerous times over many platforms, and some of our friends helped us out. Two of mine did.
Well, my friend told me about the windshield wipers.
Yes, so your friend has windshield wipers in their stocking. Well, it does bring back memories of, you got to find things that fill it out.
I laugh, but like when you get new windshield wipers, it's like, it's nice. You can see.
It is nice.
She's given the gift of sight every year. It's not a bad thing.
And around Christmas is the time when you start to use more and find that they suck, especially in the snow. They suck.
Yes. So maybe she's got the best gift. I don't know.
She still receives windshield wipers?
Yes. I guess it's a husband thing. He's just, you know, there they go.
Very nice.
There's couples out there who fill each other's stockings. Isn't that nice? Doesn't happen around here, but apparently it does happen.
Yeah, it doesn't happen around here either. But that's nice. A lot of people reminded me, much like yourself, with the deodorant and other useful things.
Someone else got deodorant too.
It was more useful things. I think that was our generation, was things we could use. I do recall, I think I got like razors and stuff like that to shave my face, not to slit my wrists. And
thank goodness.
Had to clarify for some of our listeners. And the, like I said last week, the orange. But then also I remembered the chocolate orange. That then replaced the actual orange in later days.
I don't know how I feel about these. You can't mix chocolate with certain things, you know?
That chocolate orange is pretty good.
Is it?
It really is.
See, I can't. The idea of chocolate and raspberry, I don't know. Mm. Chocolate and orange. Mm.
Yes. It's delicious. It's the right balance. You got it. And then you get to smack the orange to break it into the orange slices.
I don't know how I feel with that. I mean, I can't even clean with orange scented cleaning products. It bothers me.
Then that could be a problem. Yes.
I don't eat oranges because I don't want the smell on my hands.
Really?
Yeah. Hmm. I'm just one of those.
We've learned something today.
I can't deal with it.
Lemons?
My son's like, can I have an orange? I'm like, no, I like lemons.
Lemons are okay. Just oranges.
Oranges, yeah. I know. I'm a freak. Go ahead. Mock me.
I'm just taking it in. I'm taking it in.
Mock me.
Mock me. Our other friend said that her grandparents always gave practical things also, like socks and underwear, and that she received her first bra in the stocking.
Oh, boy. That's special.
That is exciting.
I hope it was a welcome gift. Like, not like, oh, my God, you need this. We're going to put it in the stocking. You know.
That's a good question. Was it like...
We have to follow up. Like, was this an anticipated gift?
See, I don't know. Your first bra, I mean, I guess if it's from your caretakers, they know what you need. But that seems like something that you might need more. Don't you need to, like, measure and be certain? Or is a first bra just kind of like a strap that holds things together?
For normal people, I mean, I guess it's a strap. I mean, I didn't have that stage, ever. Right, exactly.
You cut straight to it.
It's like, here's your C cup. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
So that was
it's hard.
It was from Carol. Thank you, Carol. And Gary, he got a lot of fancy candy.
Gary gets the good candy. What the hell?
He gets the Ferrero Rocher. He got the Turan. I don't know what a Turan is. You know what a Turan is? It's a Turan. You should Google that.
No.
I know I'm saying it
what
wrong.
What is that?
It's got an accent on it.
Oh, it's fancy. It's got an accent.
It's Spanish, which is why I still don't know what it is. It's a nougat confection, typically made of honey, sugar, egg white, with toasted almonds. I don't like almonds.
What's the matter with you, D? You don't like almonds.
Yeah. We've all got our problems.
So go ahead and get devastated with my orange thing, but you not liking almonds? Come on now.
We've all got something. Yeah, it's Turan. I was saying it right. Yeah, I don't like the way that looks. There's all these almonds stuck in there, and that's
all these things.
That bothers me. which then there are other recommendations. People that like Turans also like panettone.
Yes. Do they? Yeah, well, oh, how nice. And they probably like the Toblerone. You know what Toblerone is? It's shaped like a triangle, but it's also divided into little mini triangles. You could just snap it off and eat it. Those are pretty good.
Oh, that sounds good.
You need them. You don't have them there. Oh, my God.
No, we don't. I actually see under here a Pulverone with P. And that's a round, biscuity thing. Crumbly Spanish shortbread made with sugar, flour, and nuts. Now, that sounds good.
I don't have that either. My God.
Yeah, we don't have
Let's
that.
Let's do a candy exchange.
Yes. Send us your However, candy.
Send us your candy, but you ain't getting nothing from me because I'm lazy.
It's okay. All we got is Reese's cups anyway.
Send us your candy and we'll review it. Yay.
Yes. Absolutely. So he gets the Turan. He gets the Lifesaver Sweet Storybooks. I do remember those, the Lifesavers.
I'm not familiar.
And they were, I think they had, I don't know.
He had a very exciting sock.
Like you said, he got a fancy sock.
Man.
And then our vitamin C? No, our Vanilla Child. Oh, my God.
Oh, that's her new name, Vitamin C.
But... Oh, it's because I was looking at Gary's tweet, which he ended up letting us know that he was butt-chugging vitamin D. And then I was thinking Vanilla Child and said
Wait, you said butt-chugging.
Yes, I said butt-chugging, and he said butt-chugging. He tweeted and said he was butt-chugging vitamin D.
Call him up right now. I want to talk about butt-chugging.
He's got some good tweets.
All right, the new feature is going to be just reading a tweet from Gary at the end of the show.
That's exactly. It'll have a special segment. We invite it. We love it. We love it. And I'm sure he can come. He had a good one today too about tongue in cheek, but we're not going to go there. So Vanilla Child, a.k.a. Vitamin C, what the hell? All she wanted to say was that it's not a stocking, it's a sock.
It is a sock.
It is a sock. But
the poem said it was a stocking.
Hung with care.
Stockings were hung by the chimney with care. I guess because sock is, you know, not enough syllables for the poem. Right. So who knows?
In hopes that Saint Nick.
Ah, we got to Google. Is it Christmas sock or stocking? And why?
Why the stocking? Why Christmas stocking? I like the definition immediately. Definition immediately starts out with Christmas stocking is an empty sock.
Or sock-shaped bag.
Sock-shaped bag. Everybody wants a sock-shaped bag. That fits more.
Stockings are longer. Yes. And we're typically worn up to the knees. Oh, so it is a stocking because it's a long thing you could fill with your shit, see?
Yes.
Look at that.
Look at that. We learned another.
And I guess if they were more petite, it would be a sock. Look at that! And we've been edumacated again.
And then this definition reminds us that the child who behaves badly gets coal.
We used to put coal in my brother's stocking.
He deserved it.
You know, just because, you know, that's what we would do.
I was recently, there was a Christmas 1 or 2 years ago that, as a joke, they gave coal and people didn't know why. They didn't understand it.
Yeah.
I'm no longer friends with those people. Yeah,
they don't get it.
Yeah, I mean, kids don't even know what coal is, so it's a new world, and they shouldn't know what coal is because they should be using clean, green fuels. There.
Yeah, whatever. Well, now they got that damn elf on a shelf that watches everything they do, so you know. That's enough to scare these children every day.
The elf on the shelf is watching. Just like Saint Nick. They're all watching. Which is the scariest thing for children, I think, is that some creepy old man is watching.
Every camera in every store was Santa Claus for me growing up. For my son. Like, that's what I would always tell him. That's Santa's camera. And he'd just be like, oh, shit.
I love it. Santa cam.
And
everywhere.
He'd have to behave. Yeah.
That would sell. That would sell to kids these days. They would buy it because they'd think, oh, he's got a closed caption circuit everywhere.
He just Velcro something to the wall.
He's got everywhere. He has a live feed, and since he can be everywhere, he has a live feed to everywhere that he can watch.
And I do recommend portablenorthpole.com because you could actually customize a video with a very lovely Santa, and he could tell you have a shitty report card.
Oh,
yeah, you're behaving well. You could really customize it to whatever you need it to be. And it kept my kid believing.
That's fantastic. That's portablenorthpole.com.
Yeah.
Go there, people. Scare your children. Get them in line.
I'm going to make one for you.
Please do. Lord knows the artist D has been nothing but naughty, which Santa likes. So there. Because he's a dirty old man. That's why.
Is he a man? Is he an elf? What is he?
Oh,
that's another show.
That gets into creepy territory.
Yeah.
Because like it's bad enough that you think he's a creepy old man, but what if he's a creepy old elf?
I would expect elves to be creepy.
Yeah, and if he's old, I get some squiggy feelings there.
Squiggy.
I never liked Santa. Santa always scared me. And it was the creeping into the room in the middle of the night. Santa's going to come and molest you, basically.
Yeah, that freaks my kids out. Of course, how's it get inside?
How's it get inside? And if he gets inside, everybody else can get inside.
Right.
And I'm not saying.
Why did we let Santa in and not, you know, Joe Schmo with the black ski mask in? Why?
Why am I feeding Santa cookies when I can't feed somebody else cookies?
Why can't I have the cookies?
Yes. I was talking about what to leave out. Was it an article? Something about, I was thinking that, my God, people leave out so much You got to leave out cookies for Santa, something for the reindeer. There was like milk for something else.
Oh, that's hardcore.
Leave out for Christmas.
We would leave cookies, and then you get the, you know, you had to do the Easter Bunny stuff. You get the carrot.
See, yeah, I remember you do that. I've never left the Easter Bunny anything, which is probably why the Easter Bunny was never too keen on me.
The Easter Bunny was big in my house because we had a dog, and my mother would write a poem and then cover the dog's paw print in paint and make the dog sign the poem for the Easter Bunny. We never knew why my poor dog had a silver paw for the whole week.
That's great.
Oh.
Here's some information about what kids leave out for Santa around the world. In Australia, Santa gets a nice cold beer left out for him.
Right on. That's the way to do it.
They may
well, it's also summertime. That makes sense. Yeah. Come on.
They also might leave some cookies and milk and even a few carrots for the reindeer. For the reindeer. Yes. But the beer comes first in Australia. And in Sweden, after that beer and his long flight, Santa or Tomte in mythological creatures from Scandinavia. So it's not Santa, it's Tomte. Might be a little tired, so they leave out a cup of coffee for the rest of his journey.
Hmm.
In Denmark, he gets rice pudding. I like it. I love rice pudding.
I think I like that too.
Yeah, I could deal with that. And then, of course, in the Netherlands, he gets boring shit like carrots and hay. And
hay
for the reindeer.
Hi.
Hi. And he gets oranges. Oh, no.
Fucking up. Ah.
In Germany, let's see what he's getting. They just leave him a letter. They like to leave him personalized letters. A lot of carrots for the reindeer. The reindeer are getting carrots all around the world.
Do reindeer even eat carrots?
Probably if they're confused.
I mean, you know, then again, reindeer don't even friggin' fly. Here we are just assuming they do for this whole thing. Okay.
Carrots are like candy to reindeer. And they're good for reindeer,
sugar them
too.
Up. That's what makes them fly.
They love the carrot. They love vegetables.
Ugh.
Mince pie in the United Kingdom for Santa. In Ireland, of course, he gets a Guinness. I wouldn't doubt it. And in Chile, they get a special treat of a spongy, rich cake flavored with rum and filled with dried fruits.
Okay.
Sounds like something you could help him with. And then, of course, the United States, he just gets cookies. Lots of cookies. Macaroons work well, they say. I don't like a macaroon.
No. Mm-mm.
I will pass on the macaroon. Just put out that panettone for me.
Nobody leaves out a cheesecake or anything, right? That's what's messed up with all
that
this.
That is messed up.
I mean,
were you afraid of Santa at any time in your existence?
I don't remember.
Were you one of the children that was crying on Santa's lap?
I don't think so. I don't remember any of that.
See, every
I could have blocked it out.
Every show ends with you needing to go and interview your mother.
I don't know. Well, I got mad last time. Exactly. And I had to interview about my damn stocking, you know. And I got the, what do you want me to do? I had five kids and like, you know, and CVS was open.
Exactly.
I don't remember. I also had older brothers. So, like, I would go with them, I imagine. If they didn't cry, I probably wouldn't cry.
Yes. Yes, I was not,
I don't
not
know.
A fan. As a child, as a baby, I was definitely, from the stories I've heard, not a fan of Santa, crying on the lap, all that stuff. But then as a teenager and a young child, though, I remember being terrified of it, of him, before I knew he was, not really
You know?
There.
You know? you know?
Cover your ears.
You have to come to Macy's and visit their Santa. It's quite an extravagant thing.
See, you guys got that Santa. We got like the Christmas Story Santa. You know, you're gonna shoot your eye out, kid.
They have like five Santas, and you're like, go have to go through these little tiny tunnels to get to them, and they just keep the line going. It's amazing. You don't. You just kind of come this way, and you go through a special door.
It's a freaking Santa.
It's Santa.
It's like a conveyor belt of Santas.
Yeah, whatever works, man. You got to make that line move because it's gross. It's hot as hell online. You have your heavy coats on. Everyone's crying. Everyone's tired.
Well, there's a picture that makes you just want to go see Santa. Hmm.
Yeah, it's just you gotta make all the kids happy. Damn it, this is how you do it. You suffer. This is the stuff I did for my kid because, God damn it, you're going to believe because I want the magic in my life.
We're going to have magic, God damn it.
And even magic. Now, he talks to me like it was Santa with the air quotes going to get me this. And I'm like, damn straight Santa's going to get this because Santa's still here.
Damn straight That's air it. Quotes Santa is getting this.
You will keep this alive for me.
And you better, air quotes, leave some cookies out for him.
Damn it. I want a calzone with I don't know.
Calzones.
What do I want? Oh. Calzones are good.
Okay. I do with that.
Fried dough.
I want a 200-pound boost cake from Anne Marie. That's what I want. This season.
You gotta do that. We gotta season. Do that.
You know, to like wire you $200 or something.
And then you're going to get it like, wow, this is shit. But then, you know, you're never going to say that because you're going to try to be nice and be like, oh, it's great. And then we'll see pictures of it holding up. You open your door. Be a nice doorstop.
That's on Instagram. It's like, Anne Marie sent me a cake. Picture, doorstop. Really came in handy.
Next to the panettone.
Yeah.
It's nice.
It is nice. But every year the dictionaries do this, so we decided that we needed to do a special Christmas special. We're doing it. Of gay LGBT 2019 new words, or new words to us this year. Because we've learned a few, and we wanted to put them all in one space, one place for you. It all started with dick space. So we all know what dick space is. If you don't, you've got to go listen to the show entitled Dick Space.
And it's one word, according to our iPhones.
Yes. Yeah. We are getting corrections now on our iPhones and Androids that it's not. Because Anne-Marie and I still are texting back and forth about dick space to this day.
Losers.
And every time it changes the word and recommends it like it's a title, like it's a Broadway show or a social media outlet. Either one. So you have to hear that show if you haven't heard that show. And that show is on Spotify for your listening pleasure. Now,
quality.
I was confused about Dutch oven. Because I thought it was in the gay world, I thought it was much more gay and scandalous than the actual.
Oh.
Did you know what that was? A Dutch oven?
Dutch oven,
but not the pot.
Not the pot, but I thought it was just the act of farting under a blanket and like trapping someone.
Thank you. Yes, that's what it, that's what they say it is. I didn't know.
But what did you think it was?
Well, I thought it was something sexual. But even the sexual, because there's questions on Google saying, what is a Dutch oven sexually? Which is a great question. What is a sexual Dutch oven? I just thought, because when, you know, RuPaul said she made those cookies and she thought she'd make them, you know, she put them in the oven, but she thought she put them in the Dutch oven. I thought that was some kind of, you know, sexual entendre there. But no, it's just even the sexual, which should not be a sexual definition, but I'm sure for someone it is when you trap your fart under the covers with someone's head in there. And it traps the heat, and that is romance 101. We know someone out there finds that to be a sexual term.
Someone likes it.
Somebody likes everything.
That's what I've learned with you.
That
you have taught me that.
If I've taught you anything, it's that someone in this world likes something
all over.
There's two things I know from humanity, is that someone likes anything, everything, and that someone has thought of it, whatever it is, before. Someone has done it before, someone has said it and thought it and like it. Whatever it is, it just, whatever. That's what we know on Coffee House.
Christ.
And another great phrase that we found, because we're doing phrases and words, was your pussy is on fire. And everybody needs to know.
This pussy's on fire.
It's a great song.
Alicia Keys. Yeah.
Which they actually did do. There was a drag group that...
Of course there was a drag group. What did they do with the song?
They did a parody.
What did they do?
They did a parody of the Alicia Keys song. But they changed it to This Boy is a Bottom. You'll need to go listen to that.
Obviously. Of course I do.
Which is another... But first of all, one thing at a time here, people. Your pussy is on fire means that someone is being or actively, instinctively fierce and passionate. Being or acting
fierce
and passionate. Yes.
There's no, like, you know, chlamydia or anything.
No, no. I'm sure. I'm sure some people with chlamydia would say that their pussy was on fire.
I don't know.
Dangerous topics.
It's something for everybody to learn.
Yes. Another word is hunty. Do you know hunty?
Hunty. No, I'm not familiar with hunty.
It's derived from honey and the C word. It's a term of endearment for another queen.
Be right back calling all my friends and calling them hunty.
Yes, hunty. Yes. That's exactly, that is a perfect example of how it's used. And the shade, we're always giving shade.
Shade.
And that's the new thing, or semi-new thing. But that's when someone's so fabulous, when someone is so fabulous that it makes you nauseous. Shade.
Oh, I thought it was a little different. I thought it was doing something perhaps to diminish someone else's glow, like just to...
Oh. That's a good definition, too, because that's kind of what it is, but...
Like, if I'm going to give you shade, I'm not going to treat you nicely. I'm going to...
You're right.
Frown upon... Oh, look at that.
But see, in, like, the gay community, it's encouraged to give shade. So, like, when you give
see,
it...
what do I know?
It's kind of... And that's that unpolitically correct thing, is we like that. And other people would say, oh, you're insulting someone. Or you're being rude. No, you're actually, you're paying them kind of a backhanded compliment that is an actual compliment. If you ask me. But that's coming from an old queen from back in the day, where that was our culture.
An old queen from back in the day.
In my day, we insulted people and we liked it.
And everyone left in tears.
Everyone left. Well, this is why I have to be very careful. I have to be very careful when I'm working with people, because I can find someone like yourself or anybody who's just on that same vein where we like live off of that shady energy. So being catty to each other is a compliment, and it's a way of life. It's a way of love. And then when I, you know, disconnect from that situation and I'm with somebody else, then it's a problem. Because they're insulted.
Yeah. I've been there.
Yes, we all have. With the shade, we have been there. A friend of Dorothy. Do you know this?
Yes, I've heard this, but of course now I'm paranoid because I'm getting everything wrong.
Well, I thought I had.
It means you are.
You are
an alliance, correct?
Alliance, yes, yes. You are a friend of a gang.
Hey. Okay.
And I thought, though, and it seems like most think that the Dorothy of being referred to is Dorothy Spornak from the Golden Girls. And that's what I thought. But when you look it up, it's actually Dorothy from The Wizard of Oz.
Oh.
So this is a good question. And
but
I think
Dorothy Spornak makes more sense to me.
Yes.
Yeah. How did the Golden Girls become an icon for everybody?
Because they were the first. It was just the first. The old catty women. And they had the gay housekeeper in episode one. And only episode one. But in most of these, the definitions, and there's a lot of images that come up, it's Dorothy from The Wizard of Oz. That's not what I was aware of.
Yeah. Interesting.
And actually, the definition says a friend of Dorothy is a gay man, and more broadly, just an LGBT person. So, but I took it as a friend of, like you do, that is, a friend of a gay man. I think we're both wrong. These definitions all say it is a gay man.
What's your source? How do we know what your source is for?
I've got,
I mean, you know,
I got Wikipedia.
Who said?
I got Google. I got Urban Dictionary. They're all saying it's a gay man.
Man.
And now thinking back, that is how it's used a lot. Is well, they're a friend of Dorothy, meaning they're gay. Wow, we're just fucking this up. We're not very gay, are we?
So I'm. So yeah. Well. No, well.
They're taking away our card. Here,
I thought I was being this really great supporter and friend, and I can't say anything because I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. So it worked out just fine.
Some random ones that I found, and these apparently are more in the UK. Angel food is a homosexual.
Angel food.
It's a homosexual male pilot currently serving in the Air Force.
Pilot? Wait a minute. What? What does that mean?
Angel food. Well, I get it.
But why is he food?
Well, because they fly and they're beautiful and delicious. So they're angel food.
All right, but it's specifically a pilot.
It's
that's
a pilot.
You know, that's yeah. That.
Right. Well, it's just
no
like,
one else could be angel food.
And no, not at all. It's just like the submarine folks, because you know a lot of submarine guys are homosexual, and but they're just they're submariners.
Yeah. But I gotta take notes. This is all new.
I knew this would be interesting in some way.
It's like I don't know.
Here's one for you.
Wow,
basket shopping.
What does that mean?
When cruising or checking someone out. A British term referring to the examining of the object of your affection's private areas through their clothing.
Oh!
So you're looking at all those gray
basket.
Sweatpants in the basket. Yeah.
Wow.
Oh.
That's kind of cute.
Yeah.
Basket shopping. It adds some innocence to what you're doing.
It does. It does. We'd probably just call that window shopping here.
Yeah. Or just checking the junk, let's face it.
Yes. I mean, that would be more what I would be telling you when you call me. Gotta call you back. I'm just checking. I'm out shopping for junk. Donald Duck.
Donald Duck.
A homosexual male who is dishonorably discharged from the Navy for their sexuality.
Wow.
I've never heard that.
That's very specific.
That
Another
is.
One.
That is. That's a very, very specific term. And I wonder
wow.
if anyone knows that. Yeah, I think these were pulled out
why
of someone's
ass. I mean, why Donald Duck?
That's a good one. A good question, too, because I don't know. Well, I mean... I hate Donald Duck.
So do I, but I mean, I also hate Goofy. Why not him? I mean, it's just... I don't know. Pluto's a pain in the ass, too. Yes. Let's put them all in
the
there.
The whole bunch. Daffy, Donald, Pluto.
All the Disney characters. Oh, nope.
Most of them, yeah. And then there's fish and chips.
What's fish and chips, D?
Pejorative 90s British slang for the spouse and children of a married heterosexual lover. So it's a straight man.
Wait, what?
Okay, it's a married straight man with kids. And he's having sex with a gay man. So you would call his...
So that he's not straight. Well, so, but that's...
Well, but he thinks he's straight.
Well, he's just got, he's got the side piece going up. So, but right. he and his children are called, or the wife.
The wife and his, yes, his wife and children are the fish and chips.
These are so specific.
After explaining, it makes complete sense, I think.
Who the hell thought of these? And we don't have any equivalent in our American terminology to make that. I don't know.
We don't have any fish and chips here.
Good. I want really cool words like this. Come on.
Yeah, we need more words.
Gary, get started. Come on.
Get started. Yes, bring us some more words. And the
There's got to be words for this.
One of the last phrases that you brought us, or you brought me, because you just learned this recently. Is the phrase right in front of my salad?
Yes.
Which I told everyone we're going to do this show right in front of their salad. Because you're.
I can't use that phrase in front of anybody, but I have to educate them, I guess, so I could use it.
I guess so. I mean, it could easily become a straight, normal thing. Because if you didn't know the background to it. You know, they could think, well, you know, you don't want to do that in front of somebody's salad, whatever it might be, anything. But it does come from a gay pornography movie where... did you watch it?
I watched that portion. Yes, I did. I thought it was hysterical.
Is where...
No one knew what was going on, but yeah.
there's a man, he's making a salad, and... His man friend comes home, and the woman, there's a woman friend. He's making his friend a salad, the woman, and then he finishes making the salad and serves her the salad. But in the meantime, the two men are kind of going at it in the kitchen, and then she finally realizes halfway through her salad what was going on.
She got served salad while he's getting serviced.
There we go.
In front of her in the kitchen. That service is the theme here.
Exactly. Service is always the theme. And then she cries out, right in front of my salad. and exits the room for the porn to continue. And it has become a term in our small little culture here.
That's what America's got to offer.
That's what we've got. We got fish and chips and Donald Duck and Daffy, but we got salad.
Not in front of my salad.
Never. Well, we hope you've been educated by this.
I learned a lot.
I did jot down one that you yourself or your friend came up with, not involved with the 2019 list, but it could be when you said premature tree ejaculation. Gotta credit somebody for that, and I had to write it down.
I forgot where it came from, but yeah. That's when your tree goes up a little too early.
Too early. I'm talking Christmas tree goes up a little too early. And we've had you had.
I had a premature tree ejaculated.
You prematurely trajectory. We can't. We shall not go on. It has been a very Merry Christmas show. Perhaps it could be the least Christmassy show out of all of this last month's Christmas shows, actually.
Are we surprised, really?
I don't think so.
Come on.
I don't think so.
This was definitely the most educational.
Yes. So we were hoping you took notes. Catch us on Twitter. Let us know your feedback. You can tell us how badly we did on the list and how much we got wrong, because I myself just realized I am.
This list was perfect. I'm sorry. That's my two cents there.
I'm glad you liked it. And now that the plague is over, we shall be back next week with more non-plague related fabulousness.
I'm ready. Let's do this.
I'm ready. Let's do this. So thank you, Anne-Marie.
Thank you, Dee.
Have a lovely day.
Aw.
Until so next nice. Time. Find us at juicedtalk.com or add us on Spotify or go to forculture.com. That's where we are. Always. Because art is important. As important as a goddamn banana taped to the wall.
And now I want fish and chips.
Me too. Let's go get some fish and chips.
Definitely.
For more shows by the artist Dee and Anne-Marie, find Coffee House on Spotify or listen at juicedtalk.com. That's juicedtalk.com. This is For Culture Radio. Forculture.com.